This is an audio of the article or write-up I did called Truth is Love, Love is Truth. The content for this article are conceptions of, quote, love in society. Love represents good. Truth is love, love is truth. Embodying and becoming truth slash love in our world. A hard truth hyphen, can you face your shadow with honesty? Care for truth, and a little summary. This piece is long, as it is about many things I've written about in other articles, and it corresponds, correlates, and interconnects the patterns for a better understanding. This piece has information and correspondences not made in previous articles or posts. There are many images, meme quotes that take up a lot of place as well, so it appears longer. I urge you to listen or read to this, as is probably the most important write-up I have done so far. Conceptions of, quote, love in society. Love seems to represent too many things in the standard definition. Every time love is used in the modern world, it can be directly substituted for another noun or verb. It has no real definition of its own. C.S. Lewis had conceived of four loves, while John Lee formulated six love styles as a basis for understanding interpersonal relationships. The four love styles are storge, in Greek, which is affection, familial love. The second one is philia, which is friendship, bond, common interest. The third one is eros, which is romance, being in love, loving someone. The fourth one is agape, which is unconditional love. So those are the four loves that C.S. Lewis conceived of. Now, John Lee has six love styles, and these ones I find are a bit better than the four. There's eros, from the Greek word for erotic or passionate, a passionate physical and emotional love based on aesthetic enjoyment, a stereotype of romantic love, hormones flying, that type of thing. The second one is ludus, from the Latin word meaning sport or play, a love that is played as a game or sport. Winning, fun, may have multiple partners at once, short relationships, lust, getting laid. It's about conquest. The third of the six love styles is storge, which was in the four love styles of C.S. Lewis as well. Storge is from the Greek word meaning friendship, an affectionate love that slowly develops from friendship based on similarity and not physical. The fourth one is pragma, from the Greek word meaning practical, love that is driven by reason, not feeling, but practical, common goals shared between people. Mania is from the Greek word meaning frenzy. It is highly volatile love, obsession, fueled by low self-esteem. It's a need for love, being possessive, jealous, having highs and lows, the Hollywood mania of love affairs, angry love, revenge love, killing yourself for love, controlling others for love. It's an addiction like heroin. The sixth type is agape, from the Greek word meaning divine or spiritual. A selfless, altruistic love, quote, true love, sacrificing anything for a partner, you know, selfless love. Unconditional love is presented as the, quote, spiritual love, as the greatest love, and just pure positive feeling towards someone no matter what they do, or towards everything because you, quote, love it all. Unconditional love, agape, can be the most dangerous, as Thomas Sheridan points out in his lecture in Norway. It is required from a parent towards a child because that child depends on the parent for survival until it is mature enough. Unconditional love towards another person or several people is not healthy. If you start abusing me, am I supposed to still love you unconditionally? Would you? No. You are an adult. You have to learn to love conditionally because what other people do does matter, and letting people get away with harm is not good or healthy. Thomas Sheridan makes an analogy about learning a lot from cats. A dog will love you unconditionally, but cats won't, and maybe at some levels they are healthier because of this. They are saying, if you hurt me, I won't be nice to you. A dog will love you no matter what you do to them. It is charming and endearing to view a dog in that way, but for humans to live our lives in such a way is very dangerous. To love someone unconditionally when it is not a child can develop into a form of fanaticism. You become fanatically devoted to someone, you give yourself to them, etc. You end up having no control over yourself and can be led into the gates of hell by that person by being fooled and not being careful. You can only have unconditional love for those who depend on you because they cannot take care of themselves, like your child. You are responsible for them because they have not matured to a point to be able to do it on their own. With others, though, you have to maintain your sovereignty as a human being. A baby is not a sovereign yet. Unconditional love from the parent is required for its survival, or at least that is how it should be happening. Unconditional love applied generally is chaos of letting people who harm and violate the rights of others continue to receive care and affection to do so. There is no healthy reason to care and feel affection towards those that harm you. That is deep psychological abandonment or trauma to do so. You don't put down your child when they are learning and need your guidance, but you can put down another being that is supposed to be mature and responsible to some degree when they violate your rights. You have the right to speak up and tell them what they are doing and no longer be involved with them in your life. Quote, love means what exactly? People express the use of the word, quote, love in many ways, but they all have another emotional state of being that can be described instead of what we use love to represent. Love is a very common word used in life, in movies, music, literature, magazines, pop culture, etc. People say, quote, love in reference to other things such as warmth, happiness, joy, kindness, admiration, appreciation, preference, care, affection, infatuation, praise, desire, romance, lust, codependency, and probably many more things I can't think of. We say, I love it, or I love this car, or song, or movie, or food. We mean like, or appreciate, enjoy, desire, become attached to and care, quote, care for an object, not a living being. But love as a word is being used anyways to represent these things. We also say, I love her, or I love him. We are actually referencing care, affection, romance, desire, infatuation, or other emotional feeling states. Loving a spouse is different from loving your child and differs from loving your animal companion. There's different levels or degrees of care and affection. The birth of a child, a sunset, an animal showing affection to you, all can create feelings inside on an emotional level. You don't, quote, love a car, song, movie, or food. That is something else. Quote, love can be an emotional feeling sensation. Falling in love, romance, a chemical release feeling sensation, which is sometimes real and sometimes a trick in the brain. We are using one word to describe many different things. A far range of use has diluted a true meaning for the word. I have noticed that some people may even be very attached to a particular definition of, quote, love, and refuse any critical analysis of the word for a psychological reason of satisfying a need they have that is being fulfilled by that definition. It is as though the word, quote, love, is now, quote, sacred, and no one can dare define it or tell you what it is, which is what some people try to say about the concept of, quote, God. You can't define it or tell people what it is. How dare you attempt to do such a thing? Period. These are both words used to mind control so many consciousnesses. They are ideas in the mind, concepts that have been fed, sold, and bought into by people. That is a spell. Words and their definitions and meanings are the basis for our ideas that we develop greater understanding through correspondence and pattern recognition. Why obfuscate a word to such an extent? It seems that, quote, love, as the ideal everyone wants to seek, but have so many definitions for, is being used as a manipulative tool upon the consciousness of people who grow up in our society, watch TV and movies, read magazines and books, listen to music, etc. It has become another manipulated word, obfuscation, to create a spell on the mind to alter our understanding of the word. From our understanding of a concept being from many sources and repetition inculcated into us, we develop behavior that correlates with this concept of, quote, love. Changing the definitions for words that are used as the basis for conceptualization and ideas will change corresponding relationships and overall holistic understanding. The media puts ideas of, quote, love as teenagers, happily ever after love stories, adult romances and lust, developing a princess complex meme to infect young women with, having ideas of perfection that are non-realistic, of a perfect partner, etc. Quote, loving a product was developed to have people consume. Celebrities are now, quote, loved as the new, quote, gods of entertainment and distraction, hero worship, idolization, etc. All of these false ideas for love creates unrealistic expectations in relationships. Thomas Sheridan points out that much of the concept of romantic love actually comes from the Bronte sisters, who invented modern romantic ideas. They were three daughters of a Presbyterian minister, so already they had limitations on the concept of romance, and concocted in their own little worlds a neurosis of what romance was supposed to be, and this became the norm that others bought into, believed in, and accepted. Previously, people would get married out of necessity. Romance didn't really exist. You would do what you were told to do by your family or the community. Anyone who breaks from the norm of society or family is usually attacked, engaged into rituals, or even killed by society because they broke from the norm. Because the culture does not tolerate it. This is particularly true in strict cultures like extreme religions. Quote, love would be seen by society as something that is very dangerous. You can't have people randomly falling in, quote, love with whoever they want, because that would damage the structure and integrity of society. People are made afraid to run away, afraid to love someone. We need to regulate our emotions, be an adult, and not let them rule us. A perfect spouse, perfect house, perfect car are all too many expectations that are not being met, and then people crash from failure to attain these things that give them temporary sensational pleasure fixes. They are constantly trying to get a fix of chemicals, this false happiness. They try to get this from everything in life. This is the obsession with feeling good, or part of the obsession. Chemical sensations. Those who strive off of the emotional states they identify with, quote, love, eventually have the thrill diminished because it's not meant to last. The neurochemical release of dopamine is an evolutionary imperative for survival by procreation and continuation of the genetic pool. It did its job, and then it's gone. We have a chemical sensation from dopamine when we are in a state of, quote, falling in love, or getting complimented by someone. It makes us feel good about ourselves. And also, we get this feeling when we eat chocolate or other foods. All chemical tricks to subvert a capacity to recognize what is right, good, and true. Quote, fall in love with the wrong person because you are led by chemical releases and sensations in your body. Becoming fooled and infatuated by someone who compliments you because you are immersed in, quote, feelings to direct you. Eating something because your body says it makes you, quote, feel good, or because it, quote, tastes good. Sensory pleasure seeking, and pleasure seeking in general, has control over our life. This is part of the illusion of the five senses, which I provide a link to in the article. Dopamine is a chemical release in the brain that induces feelings of pleasure. They are temporary and not supposed to last. Immersion into these states of sensation becomes an attachment and, quote, need for them, for people, whereby it is sought after and desired in someone's life as a source of meaning and comfort. It is an addiction. Rather than face discomfort and truth, they remain attached to delusional platitudes that appease their self-image and self-concept to feel good about their current condition, actions, and behaviors. They engage in ignorance of what inhibits the, quote, feel-good sensation or self-assessment of themselves, their self-concept, their self-image. That is to say, the truth that hurts, that makes you face yourself. They ignore that in favor of feeling good. Infatuation is an attraction at some level that is not based on truth of any real significance, but a deceptive feeling summoned as a result of mind control. Infatuate comes from the Latin infatuat, meaning to be, quote, made foolish or made a fool of. Many people associate infatuation with, quote, love. Infatuation is the result of a chemical trick in your body released from the limbic system to attract to you someone you find appealing, someone who is an ideal mate for perpetuation of your genetics and survival. The trick of the chemicals is there to create an attraction in order for procreation, spreading your DNA, etc. Some people are together that shouldn't be, but still are, because they are being ruled by sensations, feelings, and emotions, and do not understand how they are being manifested and created in the first place. Infatuation is used as the mind control tool through compliments, praise, and flattery. These are very powerful tools to influence and manipulate people. Thomas Sheridan calls this, quote, love bombing, and I agree with that term. This is an aspect in cults and in the New Age movement, the whole glitter, rosy-colored glasses, it's all making people feel good. Telling people they are wonderful, great, and perfect no matter what they do shuts off their critical thinking capacities and develops a level of endearment or infatuation for the person delivering the message or in the belief itself. The person often, quote, falls for the one doing the praising, either, quote, in love, falling in love romantically, or falling for what someone is selling. People buy into bullshit because they want to believe it. Either way, it's a con job. You are being conned, tricked, duped, bamboozled, hoodwinked, screwed, deceived, manipulated, and fooled. This is the infatuation. Being made a fool of. Someone is selling you something you want to buy. You want to buy into praise, compliments, and flattery. It boosts your self-esteem, self-image, and self-concept you have created that is your ego personality identity construct. It makes you feel good. That is the most important aspect. Feeling good about yourself, your self-image, thinking you are, quote, good, is what seems to drive most people in their worldview and belief acceptance. Those who can influence people through emotions, feelings, and sensations of compliments, flattery, and praise have inculcated memes into many minds as a mind virus. The understanding of what is being done slips by conscious awareness, critical thinking, asking questions, thinking things through, and coming to accurate conclusions. The limbic neurochemical effect is overriding the neocortical higher order functionality. A cult functions in the same way. Quote, love bombing the followers into providing the needs they are missing in their lives. Attention, promises of fulfillment of some kind, praise, compliments, flattery, etc. We also develop cults of personality in our own, quote, truther groups. This is the basis for, quote, gurus. People follow one person and seem to accept everything they say as gospel. People uncritically and unquestioningly accept, quote, spiritual gurus' beliefs because they are selling what people want to hear. Now, with the New Age beliefs, it's even more, quote, feel-good manipulation and memes about 5D, fifth dimensional living, hyperdimensional ascension, soul hierarchies, spirit this or that, quote, balance, and other buzzwords, circular reasoning, glitter talk, rosy-colored glasses, avoiding the negative, on and on with more bullshit to feel special and good about ourselves. If you want to conceive of the possibilities of fifth dimensional or other dimensionals, fine. But get out of living in the clouds and get grounded and engage the reality of right action necessary in the world to produce freedom and peace. These beliefs are like a cult, an imaginal mental cult, to construct a belief system in your mind to make you feel good about whatever you want, to allow you to believe whatever you want. Whatever problems or insecurities you have, this person seems to fix you up and clear all the baggage that you have and make you more, quote, spiritual and feel good. Now, as I said before, it's not necessarily the person that can do this, as long as you maintain that imaginal mental cult and attachment to that belief, it'll do the same thing to you. This is being made foolish because of a feeling that is being summoned. This is magic again. Spells of words are manipulating you into summoning your inner energy of feelings to influence your decision-making ability and lead you down a potential false path. It's a system of mind viruses that infect people towards living in a delusional fantasy of illusions, beliefs, wishes, wants, desires, intents, etc. Not the real work of learning, of seeking, and discovering truth, letting go of attachment to illusions that make us feel good about ourselves, our ego, and really getting grounded in reality of truth before we go floating off into the clouds of possibilities. Codependency is often regarded as, quote, love. If you are codependent in a relationship, you feel that if the person leaves you or they die, you will kind of die as well, or you won't be able to survive. Codependency exists in its largest form as the ego personality identity attachment to government and corporations. Now, children are codependent on their parents, but this is the way things work for children. At a certain age, you no longer need codependence. Healthy adults should not be codependent. A normal, healthy person should be independent. Codependency in relationships reflects our codependency to society as a control system over our ability to survive that we come to believe we need. Unconditional love is only healthy for a parent to have towards their child because the child is dependent on them for survival. Conditional love is the healthy one. But it can also be taken to the extreme. This extreme is, quote, loving someone as long as they don't put on any weight, they remain pretty, they don't lose hair, etc. Quote, loving them as long as they don't change is not true care for that person. Codependency is not part of a healthy relationship. If someone does you wrong, there is no foolishness of being required to, quote, love or care for them unconditionally. Right is right, wrong is wrong, harming others is wrong. Taking personal responsibility for our actions is required. Actions then need to be taken to admit our wrongdoings. That's part of real forgiveness. Thomas Sheridan points out the phrase, "You complete me," from the movie Jerry Maguire. And it is the insanity of codependency. It demonstrates the magic spell the word, quote, love has upon us and how we live our lives and its association to negative modalities of being. People associate that scene with tremendous positive, quote, love, and they think, quote, it's so great. Their heart just melts when they hear that. Some people don't want their fantasy shattered and will not like hearing this. If someone says, "You complete me," they are either saying they are broke and damaged and your job is now to fix them, or they are putting a guilt trip on you to feel sorry and take care of them. "You complete me" is saying, "I'm a failure and your job is to take care of me." I'm a failure and your job is to make me less of a failure, to take care of me, since I don't take care of myself. This makes you a slave. It's a trap to get a free life. Someone guilts the other person into staying with them. The need to have someone in your life to complete you begins in childhood from poor parenting or neglect of various kinds and of varying degrees. We all have varying degrees of abandonment issues that manifest in our ego personality identity constructs and the lives we lead, and they can all be healed if we face them and choose to change our ways. Love represents good. The above was a breakdown on man's sensational feeling attributes to, quote, love, in the various aspects of what we feel. The word, quote, love currently has many definitions, is diluted to the point of being used in the place of the word like, and yet is a word given much value and importance. Care and affection are the words that most accurately reflect the healthiest kind of, quote, love that people engage in, the, quote, love in friendships, family, and partners. An affection and care for others that you have come to know and have identified with on common ground. This is the love style storage from the love types. Here is the etymology to show you the validity of this conclusion. So if you go to Etym Online and look at love, you'll see that in Old English, lufu was love, affection, and friendliness, which is what I'm saying, our common sensational feeling use of love actually is. Then when you trace it back to the origins of the Germanic words, it comes from Proto-Indo-European lube, which is to care, desire, love. So the most accurate use for our feeling sensational love in society is to use the words care and affection. It's a type of friendliness. That is what storge is. Friendship, affection, i.e. care. Storge or care is the closest our common use of, quote, love comes to and is actually the word we should be using most of the time. Why is love quote, love being used when other words are more specific to what we are trying to give meaning to. We like and prefer to represent that which we like, what we admire, and think of as good, as being representable by the word, quote, love. Care is good, affection is good, etc. All the things we use, quote, love for are in reference to things we view or deem as, quote, good for us. Not being alone, having someone in your life, having sex regularly, these are all things we view as, quote, good, even if they may be an attachment upon which we base fulfillment of some need we desire. We don't want to be alone or fear being alone to get depressed or get depressed when we are alone. We want to have a partner in our lives to have some purpose, meaning, attachment, significance, etc. We want a partner because we want to feel wanted, appreciated, loved, quote, loved, cared for, the pleasure of company, sex, etc. So again, we see these things as, quote, good for us. They fulfill our unsatisfied, quote, needs, and therefore we associate them with, quote, love. We think of, quote, love as everything that is good. Everything good is only achievable with truth, not lies. People consider, quote, love to be the uniting force. This can be true if you understand it correctly, but most people are thinking of the compromising, quote, love that cares not for truth, that sacrifices truth, and often spits in its face. This is, quote, love that prevents people from speaking hard to face, harsh or hurtful, uncomfortable truths that people do not want to hear, because this is a false love or feeling, quote, happy or, quote, good about yourself. Truth can hurt, and lies can be oh so sweet and comforting. Truth is what actually unites, and lies divide. People who cannot face the truth or do not care for the truth attempt to use dismissive fallacies to invalidate the point of truth being made. These include labeling someone or something said as judgment, quote, judgment, or quote, judgmental, labeling it as, quote, divisive or divisive, since you dare tell someone that they are part of the problem and are talking or living out bullshit modalities of being in their lives. The bullshit needs to be called out in the world. We need more bullshit callers, not letting people get away with their bullshit ways of living based on lies, deceptions, and delusions that create more direct and indirect harm that we partake in on a collective scale to continue to manifest our co-created suffering, co-created self-inflicted suffering. So here's the first image meme. Caution. I'm allergic to BS, so keep it real or get out of my face. You think I'm off the charts yet? Do you need another source to validate the truth spoken of what I'm talking about? Well, here is what Mark Passio has to say about the bullshit people buy into. And he was saying this about the hard truth I will delve into at the end of this article. Mark Passio says, if something you are doing is generating suffering, then you should not be doing it. Thinking people cannot tell each other what they should and shouldn't be doing is New Age bunk, because it wounds their precious little ego, so we can't ever say anything true about what is being wrongly done, because that would dare threaten someone else's belief system, and their ego reacts. Maybe the problem is that people aren't speaking about the truth and what is right, so then other people don't see any reaction or blowback to anything they do, so they continue a practice unabated because no one is calling them out on it. We are not calling each other out on bullshit. That is the problem. This New Age notion that letting people do all the harm that they want and never bringing up the negative of the harm that they are doing, never calling them on the harm they are doing, is nonsense. Those teaching this are false spiritual teachers. Mark Passio, What on Earth is Happening, podcast number 122. Yes, if you know what that show is about, you know what that hard truth is that many people in the, quote, truther movement don't want to face. I will get into it at the end because it is a huge part of truth slash love that people refuse to accept and continue to lie to themselves about. So, stop the bullshit and face the truth. Another dismissive tactic is to use the label, quote, ego, because someone is daring to compare that person, judge them, or is telling them something they don't want to face about themselves and perceive it as an attack on their very concept of self and understanding of reality. Quote, love has become a buzzword used in pseudo-spiritual ways to appear all positive, quote, peaceful, and, quote, spiritually evolved. Kindness is also synonymous with, quote, love for many people. This obfuscation of words is a perfect manipulative tool to dismiss those who speak truths someone does not want to hear by labeling them as, quote, not being kind, quote, not being nice, comma, not being, quote, loving, being, quote, mean, quote, hateful, or, quote, cruel, or, quote, judgmental, etc. There's many more terms. This is emotional mind control because they can't handle the contrast between the truth spoken and their alignment with falsity, error, wrong, immorality, etc. The hassle factor plays a part, and we have people who do not want to be labeled in such a way and are in fear of speaking the truth. It places a constriction on consciousness. Not thinking we have a right to speak up against wrongdoings and bullshit people are involved in is a mind virus of pacifism and death of the sacred masculine principle of action. So there was another image meme quote. It says, I'm not mean. I'm brutally honest. It's not my fault truth hurts. Here's a band-aid. I have another quote. This is from Fyodor Dostoevsky. And he says, lying to ourselves is more deeply ingrained than lying to others. Attachment to lies does not bring unity. Anyone who thinks true unity can be had with anything other than honesty and truth is lying to themselves. You can indeed have false unity based on commonality of lies being accepted amongst people. This is what we currently have. Look at the world around you. Everyone is lying to everyone. No one dares to tell the truth because they don't want to risk damaging their social interactions, their, quote, loyalties and attachments. We need to survive, procreate, and have a social standing, so we subsume ourselves into the system and become part of a cog in the machine. We have created an attempt at false unity by not seeking, discovering, and learning the truth, and therefore not speaking the truth. This impetus sacrifices the true care for truth, in most cases, because of the necessary involvement of time and energy to maintain survival in the system, along with the family development taking place and all the other unnecessary distractions that permeate our cultures. To think that true unity can be had with anything other than truth and honesty is folly and not based in a true understanding of how natural law manifestation operates. It is based in compromise, sacrifice, walking on eggshells, keeping the peace, etc., in order to maintain an illusion based in falsity. It is all a rejection of truth because of fear. True unity comes about when more and more truth is shared commonly amongst people. Common sense becomes common to everyone. Everyone develops true conscience. Everyone knows the difference between right and wrong and doesn't try to invent rights from wrongs with excuses, justifications, validations, and other rationalizations. The more truth people that have a common understanding, the greater their common ground, unity, and bond in a relationship will be. Truth unites, lies divide. Lies are what divide. Those who want to pretend like they are spiritual, quote, spiritual, and tell others who speak truth that they are, quote, divisive, quote, egoic, quote, judgmental, etc., when confronted with hard-to-face truth, are doing so because they are attached to false beliefs, lies, deceptions, and delusions they base their ego, personality, identity construct upon and cannot let go of. So I'll just interject the image meme quote here. People hate truth. Luckily, the truth doesn't care. Those who are attached to lies are the ones being divisive. They are the ones divided inside of themselves through non-unity, non-harmony, non-alignment, non-integration, non-coherence, non-congruence, opposition, and conflict with what is right, good, true, moral, etc. But they do not understand this. When truth is spoken, it contradicts their beliefs about themselves, their attachment to their current modality of living, and cognitive dissonance kicks in, and they need to maintain the sanctity of their beliefs. They must sustain the illusion they are attached to and base an aspect of their identity upon. It is viewed as an attack on them, on their sense of self, on their understanding of reality, and they cannot allow that to happen. Their ignorance, denial, and refusal to accept the truth is what causes the divide. The only reason there is division is when the truth is not possessed, aligned with, united with, and embodied as part of their being in what they do, their actions, behaviors, and how they live their lives. So here's another image meme quote for the beginning of the next paragraph. The only people who are mad at you for speaking the truth are those people who are living a lie. Keep speaking the truth. When you understand this, you understand truth brings, quote, love slash true care. Truth is what brings true care and affection for others on a common ground and understanding. Truth brings real respect. The common ground based in lies, deceptions, and delusions people have bought into and believe to be the truth is not true unity, but a false unity based in fantasy. People say, love unites. Yes, quote, love based in truth, not, quote, love based in keeping quiet, silence to not offend, or as a false compassion, false kindness, or false loyalty. Do you think having, quote, good feelings internally, or about yourself conceptually, or having a smile on your face, talking in calm tones, and ignoring what wrongdoings is representative of, quote, love? That it doesn't matter what your choices and decisions result in. It doesn't matter what harm is being done. As long as you, quote, feel good about yourself, then all is right with the world. Everything is perfect as long as you feel good and tell yourself you are not engaging in harm. Smile. Talk nice. It doesn't matter what you actually do. As if your actions, behaviors, or habits don't actually reflect your state of consciousness and degree of alignment with truth. No, of course not. That would be magic. No one could possibly understand psychology enough to perceive that within other individuals. There is a saying I made. It goes like this. The more you say, the more you do, the more I see of you. So it's a catchy little rhyme. The more you say, the more you do, the more I see of you. That is how I have lived much of my life. I have observed and been quiet. Ask anyone who knows me in real life. I am a quiet person that does not speak much. I observe what is going on around me and what other people are doing. I am speaking now that I have developed degrees of truth that I understand to my core. Most of those that know me, unfortunately, have not begun or initiated themselves onto the spiritual journey and path towards truth. I am silent and quiet to them, or ignore them, because they do not respond well to being confronted with truths they do not want to face that they currently exhibit in their lives that I am seeing. So they want to shut me up by ignoring the truth that I speak. They ignore what I say. They don't say anything or revolt in offense, in quote offense and quote insult. So quiet I am, observing as usual. If you think comforting lies and placating other people's delicate sensibilities is what, quote, loving and, quote, respectful towards another person and being false, quote, nice, overrides importance and true care for truth, you don't, quote, get it yet. The continued perpetuation of lies, deceptions, and delusions we all buy into is not, quote, love, care, affection, kindness, or anything good. It is only maintenance and sustenance of existing social structures and emotional attachments that override your true care for truth. If you truly, quote, love slash care for people, you tell them the truth when their expressions of consciousness when they are expressing their consciousness in ways that are based in fear, ignorance, confusion, etc. Bullshit needs to be called out, or else it will perpetuate. We need to be calling people out on it. When people are incapable of hearing the truth and react through negative ego personality identity manifestations. That's telling you to shut up because they can't handle it. It's ignoring truth and ignoring you in the end, because they get mad at you and have a grudge against the messenger for attempting to shatter their false reality and help them align their perceptions with truth. Care for truth is a dangerous and solitary path in a world overcome by illusions and falsity. Truth is the path towards real freedom. There was an image meme quote in that paragraph. It is, "The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off." I have a few more quotes here, just in text. "And if I had to choose between those who never tell me my faults and those who tell them to me too rudely, I ought infinitely rather to prefer the harsh and rough truth to the mild and civil falsehood." That was said by James Freeman Clark. The next quote is, "My friends distress me, who extol my vices as though they were virtues, and regard my thorns as roses. Where is that rude enemy who will tell me all my deformities?" That's a quote from a Persian poet called Sadi. Another quote is, "My friend helps me. My foe is also useful to me. The one shows me what I'm able to be, the other what I ought to be, what I should be." That's from the German poet Schiller. Another quote is, "I am a fortunate man. If I do anything wrong, I am sure to be told of it." And that's from Confucius. Another quote is, "Collusive love is not really love at all. It is the willingness to sell your friend down the river in order to maintain your own popularity and to avoid conflict. In many cases, the tough love that would tell the truth is the real love." This is from an article, "What It Really Means to Be True to Someone You Love." The last quote is, "The world is sick because of shams, pretenses, empty shows, forms which have nothing left in them but dead habit. Every age needs its prophets to rouse it from its deadly sleep in some dear, delightful falsehood." And that was said by James Freeman Clark again. So all these quotes reflect the need, the understanding that real love is truth. And that's what I'm getting at in this article, which I will be expounding upon as we continue reading, is that love is truth. Truth is love. Not speaking the truth is not love. All you're doing is supporting bullshit, lies, deceptions, illusions, and perpetuating wrong, bad, evil, falsity, immorality, all that bad stuff. Speaking the truth is important. Truth is the most important thing. Truth brings love. Without truth, there is no real love. So the quote for the next paragraph is, "Recognize truth and stand for it. Then you understand that truth does bring unity, and truth brings greater care and affection for many things around us. Care for other people, other animals, the planet, etc. The less truth we have, the more lies we have, and the less we can unite based on truth. Speaking the truth is based in care, quote, love. Not to be, quote, hateful or, quote, mean, as some view it. Truth is what is good. What is good is what we like to represent as the colloquial societal word of, quote, love. We use the word, quote, love to represent what is good. Truth is good. Truth is right. Truth is unity. Truth is, quote, love slash good. Truth is, quote, love slash true care. Care for truth is unity. Quote, love is care, is truth, is unity. Actually, that last one doesn't have a quote around it. It's love is care, is truth, is unity. Now we are getting closer to a deeper understanding of love, no quotes, as a force. Not simply as a feeling, as a sensation in the body that we can use other words to attribute those sensations and give meaning to. So here is a bunch more quotes. Let's take a drink. All right. The preference for social acceptance over truth is a mortal danger to humanity and even to life on Earth. Let those of us who are willing to put truth first, to love it and accept it, no matter the cost in terms of social ostracism and hatred from those who must live in their comfort zone, let us stand firm as the true upholders and protectors of humanity and of all life on our planet. And that's from Peace Legacy, Facebook group, Facebook page that I follow. Here's another quote. Common to Luther, Socrates, and Jesus is a loyalty to the truth, which being has revealed through and as their personal experience of life. Their love of truth is foremost. It overrides concern for freedom, even life itself. That love, or quote, love, surrenders the ego and its preferences to the deepest perception of being as they have come to know it. Life will present many of us with choosing between truth or losing face, friendship, reputation, or status. Why choose truth? Our politicians from the left and the right demonstrate just how hard it is to choose truth instead of personal interest. They also demonstrate the cost of not choosing truth. Yet truth remains an optimizing orientation to being. Said otherwise, truth, what is so, frees the ego from its identifications and orients to a deeper experience of the mystery in which we all live and move and have our being. Now that's a quote from an article called Love of Truth, A Skill of Authentic Living. I'll just mention, that's what authentic living is alignment with truth, right, goodness, morality, natural law, higher self, true self, higher will. All that is goodness. And that's the point of truth, and that's the point of natural law, and that's authentic living, and that's an integrated life. The last quote is, truth seeking requires that we grow beyond a sense of shame at discovering ourselves mistaken. We strive to replace this with acceptance or even pleasure that we can grow and that others can outgrow us. And that's from a website dealing with talking about truth seeking. And the pleasure they're talking about is the pleasure I get. The greatest joy, which I'll mention later in the article, in my catalyst, the greatest joy I've ever had in my life was awakening to the importance of truth and a greater attainment of certain aspects of truth, and gaining insight and expanding consciousness, evolving consciousness, is the greatest joy for me. So to continue in the article, unfortunately, others often don't value truth, the care for truth, and we often do sacrifice truth in order to integrate into society and function with others. A slight stray from the norm at times in history has resulted in consequences against those deemed as, quote, offenders, against the accepted beliefs perceived to be axioms of truth. So the quote, I have an image quote meme that goes along with the two quotes in text. Truth is the new hate speech. During times of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. That's from George Orwell. Another quote, the further a society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. That's another quote by George Orwell. So now you can understand the bullshit and those that speak the bullshit like I do. Well, we get hated. People don't like to be told the shit that they're a part of, the wrongdoings they engage in, the harm that they perpetuate, participate, consent, and support in. They don't want to hear it. They just want to backlash, revolt, dismiss, deflect, invalidate, justify, excuse, reject the truth and what is good, right, moral. Truth is love. Love is truth. The reason I had, quote, love in quotes before was because of its broad use in modern language and how it shapes our perceptions of what is good, right, and true. I will explain a deeper understanding of love to modify the statement, truth is care / quote love, into becoming truth is love with a capital L. I want to distinguish between quote love with a lower L as the feelings of care, affection, friendship, etc., and love without quotes with a capital L as a force that expands consciousness, compared to fear as the force that contracts or constricts consciousness. A little side note, this has already been talked about in Consciousness and Polarity, one of my main topic articles. So some of this, some of you may be familiar with, especially since it's related to Mark Passio's information and understanding that he puts forth. I've just developed upon it and expounded on it, and I just understand it. I've made the correspondences necessary to get it. Now to continue. Love and fear are the two fundamental essences, emanations, or manifestations that underlie all emotional forces within us and are the primary causes or movers to all other emotional states and expressions. most people would agree that the underlying essence and creative force of what we perceive as uplifting, empowering, beneficial, and good is, quote, love. Normally, the word love is thought of as care, affection, desire, devotion, fondness, infatuation, etc. Imagine a different way of seeing it. Is that really all that is good, beneficial, empowering, uplifting, etc.? Love is not that limited definition we are so accustomed to using. That of care, affection, desire, devotion, infatuation, all those things are not. Those are limited definitions for the word. Try to envision love as the force that expands consciousness. Love, in this greater sense, is the force that magnifies, increases, grows, develops, and blossoms consciousness towards greater levels of awareness and comprehension of ourselves and the world we live in. To understand more of reality, what is truth is what allows us to expand our awareness of this reality and ourselves, and therefore consciousness evolves, and the force of love slash truth is more profound. Fear constricts and contracts consciousness. Fear is the absence of what is true. What is reality? The force of love. Fear exists from the choice to accept illusion, deception, manipulation, lies, and ignore what is reality, the truth. Fear puts consciousness in a grave. The less aware we are of reality, the less of a developed consciousness we will have. An immediate image comes to my mind of an infant who has yet to go through the necessary temporal experiential conditioning that brings about an increase in awareness of reality in which we are manifesting our thoughts, feelings, and actions. So the child, you know, they don't have the consciousness of other people because they have a limited perception and awareness of reality. That's the analogy I'm making here. We use our five senses to make sense of our reality. If our senses and perceptions deceive us, then we will be building false foundational conceptions, which we use as a basis for living our lives. Our experiences are influenced by our perceptions, which are also experienced. Our experiences are influenced by our perceptions, which are also influenced by conditions of our environment. False perceptions create false awareness. We can only increase our awareness effectively by perceiving reality as it truly is, getting at the truth. We do not increase our awareness effectively if we buy into and accept false conceptual frameworks upon which we base our thoughts, feelings, and actions. Only the truth of the reality in which we exist can lead us to increase our awareness and evolve consciousness. Hence, the truth is love. Love is truth. Love, as the expansive force of consciousness, is truth, as the expansive force of consciousness. Love of truth is the truth of love. Love embraces truth. Fear rejects truth. Truth unites. Lies divide. Embrace truth. Care for truth. Here's a quote. Love, in its perfection, cannot help reaching out to improve others. And that's by Dr. Muhammad Iqbal. What it's saying is, love is about perfection. It's about improving others and improving ourselves. That's what love is. That's what correcting the bullshit in the world is. That's what correcting people's errors are. It's correcting the wrongs, our wrongdoings, our harm, the violence, everything that we're a part of, all that we do that's wrong. That's what love is. That's what the force of love is. That's what truth brings you to realize. Truth is love. Love is truth. It's all the expansive force of consciousness. Anyways, I'll get more into that. So to continue. Embrace the truth / love. It will help you become a better version of yourself in line with values based on foundational principles. I, for one, can attest to this power of truth as love, and love is truth. When I first had my catalyst to begin to care, to revive my care from its unbegun, uninitiated, deadened state, to care enough to become more aware of the world in which I lived in, it was the most alive I had ever felt in my life. Truth / love are / is the greatest force. It's the most uplifting and empowering force to align with. It brings goodness, rightness, morality, etc. This was and still is a process of admitting ignorance, admitting I was wrong, admitting I was fooled and deceived and manipulated and conned, and then seeking to alleviate those hindrances of my ignorance by gaining greater understanding of truth through increasing my conscious awareness. This is a great journey, the quest for knowledge and understanding, the path towards greater attainment of truth. This is the great work. It is what has given me the greatest meaning and joy. The quote love, or true care, with a capital C, for truth, is caring and seeking it out. As I gain greater understanding and insights, I am overjoyed by having another revelation of truth in my grasp. Casting aside illusions, deceptions, and lies is empowering. Love is the expansive force of consciousness. Love is truth. Truth is love. It is powerful to understand this. As we expand our consciousness through greater awareness of reality, what is the truth, the force of love is ever more present and becomes more of a driving force to truly care, to become more aware and understand more of the truth. We start to care more about ourselves, our health, what we are doing to ourselves, what we are doing to other animate beings, through our collective, co-created suffering we self-impose, and how this affects others just as much as it does ourselves. We expand our identification to view not only our family, town, city, province or state, country or nation, and the people of the planet as important, but then also other non-human animals, other sentient, animate beings we live amongst and share this earth with. Our increased awareness and recognition of our similarities and differences can bring us closer towards comprehending these truths and embodying and becoming the qualities and values we say we want to uphold and live by. Becoming more aware and expanding consciousness involves looking at ourselves and the world in truth and honesty without fear of what we find out. We have to recognize what our actions are doing, admit we are wrong, and take responsibility for what we are doing by changing our actions instead of remaining in denial by creating justification, excuses, and rationalizations to remain attached to our illusions and defend our current behavioral conditioning and continue to, quote, feel good about ourselves. Understanding love, as defined by these words and what they mean, explains what this powerful force truly is. Love is truth. Truth is love. Love is the force that drives us and the force that increases in us when we are aligned with truth, not falsehood. Being responsible for our actions in self-governance, self-rulership, self-ownership, self-dominion, sovereignty, etc., united in our three aspects of consciousness, which are thoughts, emotions, and actions, not in internal opposition, conflict, or confusion from contradictions, doublethink, or cognitive dissonance we hold on to. Increasing consciousness through awareness of reality. Truth, what is, increases the force of love and fuels us to even greater heights of understanding. It is a feedback loop as long as one stays on the path of the spiritual journey, on the path of truth, doing the great work. We truly care enough to seek the truth, reality, what is, becoming more aware of it, thereby evolving consciousness, which increases the force of love. This increase in the force of love, which is greater consciousness, fuels us to care to understand more about the reality within and without, and continuing to feed itself to higher comprehension of the world and ourselves. People want to object to this understanding because they want to believe that no matter what their actions speak about themselves, they want to continue to believe whatever they want in contradiction to how they actually are manifesting and living, to not take responsibility for their actions by avoiding admitting the truth about themselves. This is internal opposition, conflict, contradiction, non-integration, non-unification, non-coherence, and division of the self. It is much easier to remain in denial and be comfortable and, quote, feel good about one's choices, decisions, actions, behaviors, and habits. That way, there is no need to admit our mistakes, admit we are doing wrong, and change anything about what we are doing, since everything is fine and dandy in the lies and fantasy we tell ourselves. There is a psychological term for this called reality negotiation that I briefly wrote about, and I provided a link in the article. Ye shall know them by their actions. Actions speak louder than words. The more you say, the more you do, the more I see of you. Observation is powerful. If you claim to be a certain way, yet you live in opposition to that, you are in internal opposition and not in unity consciousness. It is simple to understand. The New Age and other pseudo-spiritual fluffy puff mind viruses allow people to believe contradictory things about themselves by engaging in doublethink and cognitive dissonance to validate how they want to view themselves in contradiction to reality, what is, and truth of their expressions of consciousness. Believing you are a, quote, good person that does no harm, is pure-hearted, follows your heart and feelings, promotes love and light, non-violence and such, but yet engages in behaviors that contradict your beliefs about yourself, is not a balanced consciousness. It is internal contradiction and oppositional duality by not being in alignment with truth / love. It's not love, but a fear-based consciousness afraid to look at oneself honestly. To be united in oneself means to be in alignment with truth, not the fantasy lies of comfort that validate our current behavior and condition of comfort. So here's a quote for the next paragraph, another image meme. Love is not a feeling. It is a spiritual energy. Love is pure creative energy at its highest level. Love expressed in human form actualizes your divine self. Now, pay attention to this quote because it's going to come back later. Just remember how it's not a feeling, which I've already pretty much talked about. I've explained the ambiguity of this term and how it's lost complete meaning in our society, this word love, lower L in quotes. So keep in mind that it's not a feeling, it's actually a spiritual energy, it's a force, which I've already talked about. I'm already talking about it. The opposite force is fear, which constricts, contracts, and makes you unconscious. That's love is related to consciousness. Love, true love, the real definition of love is not related to all these sensational feelings that we like to attribute and reference with the word, quote, love. So, just to be clear, remember, it's not a feeling, it's an energy, it's a force, creative energy at the highest level, and it actualizes your divine self. Now, this is going to relate to people saying, oh, it's judgmental, and oh, it's offensive, oh, it's insulting. All these things are emotional mind control, and we're going to get into that later. So, the quote, love is not a feeling, it is a spiritual energy. Love is pure creative energy at its highest level. Love expressed in human form actualizes your